Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Terry Tillman is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Great music coming back from all these breaks, by the way, Terry. Are these new? I think this is like the best. These are, not to suggest I didn't like them in the past, but I think this is the biggest, the most I've liked your returns ever since we worked together.
Oh, well, thank you kindly. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Are these newer returns? Did you recently add some into the folder there? What happened?
I've been adding to my stash every week.
Okay.
So just trying to bring the best music I can to you and the best job as possible to you, Dan. You deserve it. You're Dan the mathematician.
Thank you.
And you deserve the best. So I'm just trying out here.
My math teachers through the years always would agree with that. Dan the mathematician. Yeah, I say that facetiously. But I know, I was actually...
Knowing your numbers.
Yeah, well, when it came to that magic number equation, you knew I was all... Instead of paying attention to, like, algebra, I was figuring out, hey, what's the Phillies clinch scenario?
Stats.
Yeah, baseball stats. Hey, can the Phillies still get in the playoffs this way, or when can they actually clinch? I've been counting down the magic number. I've said it a number of times. I've been counting down the Phillies' magic number since it was in the 130s this year, 140s.
I love it. I love that spirit. I love that energy. And if you were a math major, it would have been cool if you did your final or your, like, thesis or some big college project of, like, baseball stats and just, oh, man, you would have took over the class with that presentation.
I might have. And misunderstood baseball stats, including tiebreakers, because... Again, the tiebreaker thing, it's newer to the baseball world. It's been going on in the NFL world for years. There was never a tiebreaker game in football. The tiebreaker game in baseball existed for years, but now you have the wild card series. It's not a thing. Yeah, like the world needs to adjust. The equation needs to adjust. The Phillies themselves need to adjust and stop telling people that the magic number is 2 instead of 1. Just absolutely ridiculous. 215-592-9494. Is how you join the show. We will get it back to the Eagles in just one second, but talking some actual stuff on the field, not clinching scenarios and all that fun stuff in regards to the Phillies, because regardless of what the magic number is, 2 or 1 right now, and even though it's 1, but regardless of that, like, I'm not too worried about the fact that the Phillies will clinch the National League East here this week, whether they do it on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. Maybe we'll start getting a little concerned if they haven't done it by Wednesday, but I'm not concerned. I'm 0% concerned that they will win the National League East. I'm about 2% concerned that they would somehow not win. I'm not even 2% concerned. I'm like less than 1% concerned that they would somehow not end up with the first round bye. I think the home field in the playoffs is a big deal. That's going to go to the final day of the season, I think, them and the Dodgers. We'll see how hard they push for that. But overall, like, the mindset... It's going to be cool to see them celebrate. It's going to be cool to see them pop champagne and, like, acknowledge a division title, because this is not a team. Although, like, Rob Thompson in his toast to the team on Friday when they won the game and clinched a spot in the playoffs, which was at minimum a wild card spot, they did a toast. And he acknowledged the fact that this is just the third time in Philly's history that a team has made 3 consecutive trips to the postseason. Obviously, they did it from 07 to 11, and there was another case years ago. Like, making the playoffs and winning the division is not something to be taken lightly. I think they deserve to celebrate for winning the division. This is not the same type of path that they've taken each of the last 2 years as a wild card team. I think it's important to note that this does feel different. They have been the lead horse in the pack in the race basically all season long. And they are going to win this division wire to wire just about as the front runner. That is a different feeling than, you know, entering the playoff picture late in the game or vying for a wild card spot. But with that comes huge, huge expectations. And the situation is going to be that they are going to have a first round bye. They're going to host the National League Division Series, first 2 games and a potential game 5 at Citizens Bank Park. And they're going to get the winner of one of the wild card series, a team, and that's going to game 1 of that series is going to come after a 5-day layoff. They're going to play when we're on the air next week at this time, Terry. The Phillies will have 1 game left in their season. They will have played 161. They'll have one game left. And then when we come on the following week, they will have not played. They'll play next Sunday. They'll be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is all presumably, assuming they don't have a collapse for the ages here. Off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Game one on Saturday. So we'll be reacting to, so 2 weeks from now, I'm excited for that, by the way. We will be reacting to, and that's going to be the Eagles' bye week, so all the attention on the Phillies' start of the playoffs, we'll be reacting to a game one of the National League Division Series, which is going to be a lot of fun. But they're going to be coming off that five-day layoff, which we know, I don't think this will remain the case as years go on here, but in the first 2 years of this newer playoff system with the extra wildcard team, having that first round bye hasn't necessarily been an advantage. The Braves have had it 2 years in a row, and the Phillies have bounced them out twice. Now that the Phillies are going to be in that position, the Phillies are literally going to be in that position. We don't know who they'll play yet. We're going to be waiting for one of the wild card teams to emerge. That they're going to be waiting, having to keep themselves fresh through 5 days. It's the old rest versus rust debate, and go out there. And if they do not win the National League Division Series, again, best 3 out of 5, not a huge sample size, it will be a huge failure and disappointment of a season. And if they do anything short of go to and really win the World Series, it will be a huge disappointment of a season. So I am at the point where I'm already looking to the playoffs. Like, I know they're going to do this. It's going to be cool to see them clinch. I'm already looking to the playoffs. And I'm thinking about, if this team does not get it done in the playoffs, like, why? Like, what will the reasons be? And I came up with, like, three that are really smacking me in the face. And these are three that I came up with watching the game on Saturday. Number one is this offense just has not been very consistent of late at all. They had a total, I'm just going to double check the box score here to make sure I'm correct on this. But in Saturday's game against the Mets, in which they lost 6-3, they had a total of 4 hits. 2 of them were home runs. And other than that, they really got, you know, Sean Manaea got the best of them all day long, not working great at bats. Wasn't a ton of strikeouts. They only struck out 6 times against them, but a lot of ground outs, a lot of weak contact. Just didn't really feel like they were much of a threat at the plate today, even though they were in it and close for a lot of it. It felt like the Mets were having the better at bats. They had the better day at the plate. Felt like Ranger Suarez was the worst of the two starting pitchers. And that brings me to my second concern, which is Ranger Suarez. This guy, earlier in the year, when we did our top 11 on the afternoon show, this guy, I ranked him as the fifth best athlete in Philadelphia because I thought as of that moment he was. He was a stud. He would go out there and he was not Zach Wheeler good, but like in this, he was a Cy Young candidate earlier in the year. And he just, post injury, has not had the same stuff. He battled today, or on Saturday, I should say. And he put up a respectable line. He went 5 innings on 91 pitches, 5 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. But he battled through a lot of those at-bats, a couple of lengthy innings where he really did throw way more pitches than earlier in the season Ranger Suarez would have thrown. And he's probably, not probably, like almost definitely your fourth starter now, from a point where I would have made a strong case earlier in the year that he should be your number two starter. I think the rotation is going to be most likely Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Christopher Sanchez, followed by Ranger Suarez. But Ranger Suarez, let's say this team splits 1-1 at Citizens Bank Park and you go back to whatever city it shifts to and you need a big start out of Ranger Suarez. Let's say they're up 2-1 in Game 4 of the Division Series and you need Ranger Suarez in a closeout game and he's pitching like this right now. It's not, like, he's still composed, but he does not have his sharpest stuff. He does not. It feels like he's, no pun intended, lost his fastball a little bit. That's something I massively, massively am concerned about. And number three, and this just really comes to light during the postseason time, there were 2 pop-ups on Saturday that should have been caught. There was a bad, like, Alec Bowman, really bad base running. He made up for it in his next at bat with a home run, but he had really poor base running on Friday night. Fundamentally, this team, through this entire run of 22, 23, 24, going to the postseason, still has never struck me as like a really great fundamental team, and they're still susceptible to making mistakes and beating themselves in certain spots. And it's the type of series, a five-game series, where or any playoff series, where one critical moment with a bad base running error, it became a running joke last year when Harper was way off first base on that ball in the gap, and Orlando Arcia said, attaboy, Harper. We look finally upon that now because he hit two home runs the following game, and everyone got to print out T-shirts and crew necks and sweatshirts. But at the time, that was a bad base running decision. If there's a bad base running decision in the division series, if there is a pop-up where you have a number of newer guys in the field here at the end of the year with guys like Cal Stevenson, like, seemed a little reluctant to call off Bryson Stott on a pop-up on Saturday. Like, that's the type of stuff that cannot happen. And there have been a number of times of late where although they have the best record in baseball, they're currently tied for it, but based upon a tiebreaker, have the number one seed in all of baseball. Number of games lately where fundamentally are at the plate, they have not necessarily looked like it. And that's how this team can get beat. It's literally beating themselves with unwarranted mistakes. 215-592-9494. So if you want to get in on the Eagles later on today, give your prediction, whether or not you think you need to see more improvement from the offense or the defense. I very clearly think it's the defense. You can talk about that. If you want to talk about the Phillies on the brink here of clinching their first National League East title in 13 years, and what your outlook on the postseason is, would love to get your takeaway on that. Right now we go to David in Drexel Hill, who I believe wants to talk about the Birds. Hey, what's up, David?
How you doing? Before I talk about the Birds, I just want to give a shout-out to the Phillies and say good luck, and I'm looking forward to it. Hey, let me say this about the Eagles, right? I'm believing that this game, the opponents will score like maybe 31 points, and then I'm looking at the Eagles to score 41, five touchdowns. You know, so I think this is going to be Jalen Hurts' breakout game for the season, because everybody that don't even like him say, well, he played okay, this will be a good game for Jalen.
They need it to be a good game for Jalen. Do you think that this – so you think the offense, they win the game 41-31? Is that what you just said?
Yes. And you know I gave you a hint right then. You know what I did to you because you was the math man. I gave you pi secretly, 31415.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, I like what you did there.
In code, yes. Hey, and can I say something real quick about pi?
About pi?
That was my son's birthday when he passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that, but he was March 14th?
March the 14th, and I'm one of them guys that know everything. And I never thought about it when he was alive until a lady read my palm from India, and she gave me pi. And I was totally shocked. And it's been good luck since.
Well, there you go. How about that?
You know, and guess what? I'm the only one that can say this, and my neighbors all know in my neighborhood that I hit the lottery four times and had 14 tickets on pi.
Wait, you've hit the lottery four separate times?
Yes, on pi. Well, it was only like 70 grand, and it was 85. But, you know, it was having tickets straight on pi.
Seven more grand than I've made from the lottery.
Yes. And then it came out a couple of weeks ago again, you know. But it's crazy. And one more quick thing, and I get off pi. The first five numbers to pi, 31415, guess what it adds up to? 14.
I see.
I'm a math genius. I don't know nothing about math.
How about that? That is the most math discussion we've ever had on this radio show.
It probably will never
get topped either.
Yes. In closing, here's what I think had hurt the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had a new offensive coordinator every season, and this man, by taking charge and Nick Sirianni not really being involved and letting him try to take charge, I think it kind of threw the team off a little bit, because if you look at it, Goddard should have had more than one play, too. Especially you only need 2 yards. Three.
The perception of Dallas Goedert we learned a lot of what the Eagles think of Dallas Goedert. I think what they currently think of him in last week's game plan. Quickly, David, before I get to that, so you already gave me your score prediction, 41-31 Eagles, our first prediction of an Eagles win here on tonight's show. Do you have a time that you were forced to laugh at yourself?
Yes, when my wife called me out at a birthday party and told me that I was always right, but I was wrong because I thought the party was going to be a week later, and, you know, they surprised me. So that was it.
So you're forced to admit that you were wrong. Hey,
yes,
I appreciate the call, David. Admitting that you're wrong, not always easy for people, but it's good when you can laugh at yourself and you don't think too highly of yourself with your own ego. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Our first, like, Eagles are going to win and win by double digits. He's going 41-31. It's a big ask from the. That's a lot of points. 72 points in an NFL game is a lot. That means not going to be a lot of punt. Like, that's close to Super Bowl 52 territory where there's like one punt in the game. So I'll be surprised if we see that. There's going to be a lot of offensive drives. I would be surprised if the Eagles put up 41 points with A.J. Brown, frankly, without A.J. Brown, frankly. But what he just said about Dallas Goedert, like, there's this idea within the fan base, like, every year it's like, oh, go get Dallas Goedert involved more. Go get Dallas Goedert involved more. Go get Dallas Goedert involved more. Like, maybe it's just he's not that good, or maybe the team doesn't really view him as all that good. Like, within the first 15 plays last week, they were going to Britton Covey before they were going to him. Those are supposed to be the scripted plays. I just don't think they view Dallas Goedert as some great offensive weapon. Like, he's a blocker. They like him. I don't know if he's ever going to be what they thought he was going to be in terms of an offensive pass catcher, the way that, you know, he was supposed to be the replacement for Zach Ertz. I just don't know if he's that guy. And if he didn't get the targets, or the scripted targets especially, last week with A.J. Brown out, it's hard to imagine that that's going to ever take place with A.J. Brown in. Kind of gives you a lens into what the Eagles think of their tight end in terms of a pass catch. In terms of a pass catcher, I don't think it's as highly as many Eagles fans think of him on the outside. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. On the other side, sticking with the theme of the Phillies, which again, you can get in on the Eagles or the Phillies right now. Sticking with the theme of the Phillies, Ruben Amaro Jr., who, you know, sits in with the morning show sometimes once or twice a week on this station. He is on NBC Sports Philadelphia as both a studio analyst and a color commentator. He also, you know, frequents the airwaves of MLB Network. He was on MLB Network earlier this week to discuss what he thinks the Phillies rotation could and should look like coming up here once the playoffs begin, because there's debate within the fan base who should be getting the ball in that number two spot. Who does Ruben Amaro think Rob Thompson will ultimately go with in game two of a postseason series? Find out next. Take a listen to what he said right here. Dan Wilson with you on the Weekend Overnight Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.